Association and IndieBirth.com. No material on this podcast should be considered medical advice. Birth is not a medical event.
Welcome to IndieBirth's series of podcasts here on iTunes, Taking Back Birth. Hi, Marin here, as always today, with a very exciting and super special guest that I've been trying to get a hold of for a long time. We have Miss Angela Gallo from Australia. Angela is a doula, a birth photographer, and a fierce businesswoman. So I can't wait to talk with her today and just get to know her a bit. So welcome, Angela. I can't believe I finally caught up with you for this.
Hi, the pleasure is all mine, Marin. Thank you so much for having me on your show.
Yeah. I love having people like you. And I was thinking this morning that I haven't had anybody from Australia, like birthing mom or birth worker or anybody. So you have the
really
honor. Yes.
Well, I will also be your inaugural mutt on the show because I'm from Montreal. My dad's Italian, my mom's French. My kids are born in Australia and Canada, and I'm now a permanent resident in Australia. So I'll take a bunch of your mutt boxes.
Yeah, that's funny. I was just going to ask you, where is your accent from? Because it is decidedly not Australian. So now I know.
A little bit of everything.
Yeah. So how long have you been in Australia then?
I've been here on and off since about 2010. I lived part-time between here and Thailand. And then in 2012, I met my husband. We got pregnant and had a baby within that year. And then we came back in 2013. So I've been here basically full-time since then.
Nice. And I have to ask the very first question. Just how you got into birth. When did that all start for you? And, you know, let's
sure,
hear it.
Sure. So, Marin, actually, before I will preface with this, that prior to having children, I really didn't have much interest in having children of my own. I never really knew anything about birth. I'd never seen someone breastfeeding. My knowledge essentially of birth was very, very, very limited. However, I was extremely maternal. I've always been drawn to, you know, animal welfare and working with children and working with babies. Mm-hmm. And so although I never really wanted to specifically have babies of my own, I can see in hindsight how everything was a very natural progression. So we did some traveling. We kind of, after I met my husband, I decided I wanted to take him back to Thailand where I was living. Had a great time there. Then we traveled all around North America for a year and got pregnant in the process. And that kind of just threw me on my feet. So naturally, really, really excited. You know, the moment we found out I was pregnant, didn't even really believe it. I feel very in tune with my body, and I knew something was up. And my husband said, you know, you've got to be pregnant. And I said, you're absolutely mental. There's no way. And I did $300 in positive pregnancy tests. I couldn't believe it. I was told by a doctor earlier in life that I couldn't have children because of issues with cysts and stuff. And this goes to show you.
Yeah.
That... And so I just really had a hard time wrapping my head around it. So after $300, very non-wisely spent, I decided to admit that I was pregnant. And then basically from that moment, it became this remarkable, humbling experience where I began connecting to my body, connecting to my baby. And it's really from there that the seed was planted. And I became so passionate about birth, about, you know, maternal care, about having your babies, you know, the postpartum period. And that's basically where my journey begins. I had a doula and I found a doula because my husband was working away. So he worked in the mines 4 weeks on, 1 week off, which essentially means I only got to see him once a month. And so I had hyperemesis, gravidarum, for anybody who doesn't know, well, I'm sure they do, but I was just very, very unwell. And I felt like I needed some kind of support. My family wasn't around. We were living halfway across the country. So I made the decision to move back to the East Coast of Canada where my family was and find a doula. So I thought that, you know, worst case scenario, if my husband's not around, at least I have someone to support me. And I remember getting on Google. I had no idea what a doula was, and Googling birth support person.
Yeah.
And, you know, that's just one of the dominoes in my life that I can pin this all back to. And her name's Sarah Stogren, and she just made such an impact on me, you know, for a 20, you know, 6-something-year-old girl who really knew nothing about birth. I think the childbirth education component of it, and she is such a fierce birth rights activist. And she didn't necessarily impose that on me, but she certainly projected a lot of that passionate, assertive energy. Mm. And I think that's where it all starts for me.
Oh my gosh. So did she support you then through your pregnancy as well?
Absolutely. Yeah. Yeah. So when we were on the other side of the country, so this is a big move for me while I was pregnant and unwell. I had found midwifery care on the West Coast, and that was great, except when I moved across the country, naturally, I lost, you know, that midwife, I lost access to everything, so I had to kind of restart from scratch quite late in the pregnancy, so there was no midwives available. However, I was trying to find an obstetrician who, you know, whose ethos, whose protocol and policy was very much aligned with what I was trying, the birth experience I was trying to cultivate. Mm-hmm. And so someone said, look, you've got to go see Dr. Pepper. And I said, Dr. Pepper, this is actually her name, by the way. I said, who is she? They're like, look, honestly, we cannot recommend her enough. She's extremely, you know, women-centric. You've got to just see her. And so I called the clinic. Of course, she's booked out. So I put out a call out. I said, look, does anybody know this Dr. Pepper? I need to get in to see her. No one else felt right for me. And I thought, nope, I'm not going to, you know, I'll birth at home if I have to, unless I find someone that, you know, really gets me.
Yeah.
And they said, okay, yes. You know, somebody calls me. This is, again, true story. They said, look, we've got a secret password for you to use. Call Dr. Pepper's office. I'm not even kidding you. Like James Bond birth edition. They said, you can use the code popcorn. So call Dr. Pepper's office and use the word popcorn. And I was like, really? They're like, I swear to God. So do it. So I called it and I got an appointment, and Dr. Pepper was just incredible. Like, so, so patient with me, answered all of my questions, was so kind. You know, the word induction was never even mentioned. No stretch and sweep. Like, I mean, this woman was really all about supporting women and giving them an unhindered birth in the hospital space. So my first labor was very, very long. So roughly about 45 hours.
Right.
And again, in hindsight, 2020, a lot of it was just like non-optimal hormonal flow and all these other things that were happening. But sure. Dr. Pepper was so, and Sarah were such a positive, like steadfast. I can't imagine birthing without them. And I remember, you know, pushing Ruby out, and it took about 3 hours. But when she came out, it was just, the room was just full of a palpable kind of joy. And yeah, Dr. Pepper, actually, I've kept in touch with her for many years, and she said that it was one of her favorite experiences. So I thought, oh, it's so lovely. So that's my popcorn Dr. Pepper story, and Sarah is my doula, and this is why where I am.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, that's amazing. Gosh, I love how our own stories, well, I mean, we really can't get away from our own stories shaping our lives. It's just not possible.
There's no denying that I've been heavily shaped by everything that has happened to me in the last few years, but it all really truly starts with being pregnant with Ruby, my first child, and everything that came after that.
Yeah. And so did you jump into doulahood after that, or was it after your next birth, or how did that look for you?
Yeah, so I got an itch I just couldn't scratch. I remember, despite the fact that the labor was very, very long and very trying, I still felt really supported. I still felt like it was a very positive experience. Wow. And again, Sarah was such a huge part of that. And I just found myself, as you do, breastfeeding all night long on your phone, Googling doula. I was Googling doula every freaking day.
Yeah.
And I thought, you know, is this a novelty? Is there, you know, why can't I get this out of my brain?
Oh my gosh,
and
yeah.
I actually tried to squash the idea several times because I just thought, this is silly. You know, I'm just on the baby, post-baby high.
Yep.
Let me ignore this. I just couldn't figure out why I couldn't just let the idea go. And so I finally decided that I'd make a pros and cons list. So becoming a midwife versus becoming a doula. And I, you know, had a lot of midwife friends at the time, and each of them believe it or not, I've asked many midwives in my life, and in, you know, again, the birth climate's different everywhere in the world, but in Australia, every one of my midwife friends said, you know, don't become a midwife. Stay as a doula. You have way more options to support a woman wholeheartedly. So I made that list, and because they told me all this different stuff, I thought, okay, I'll go. I'm just going to become a doula. I'm going to do the certification. What's the worst thing that can happen? You know, I don't use it. So I did the certification and I loved it. I absolutely fell in love with everything. I wish that it would have went for, you know, 5 months. I just could not get enough information. I was that, you know, butthead with her hand up every 5 minutes with a different question about something and something else and something else. However, the business component was severely lacking. So, you know, we can talk about that later. That's when I went on to do my own thing. But this certification was amazing. I then just started my, you know, doula goodness after that. I actually enrolled to become a midwife. This is something not many people know about me. I enrolled to become a midwife 3 times.
Oh,
and
wow.
Three times I backed out of the situation because of how compromised the birth climate is here right now for midwives.
Oh my gosh, yeah.
And so I decided to stick with dueling, and that's what I've been doing for the last few years.
Wow. Yeah. Gosh, I love it. I love it.
And it's a colorful story.
It is a colorful story. So you do serve women then throughout their pregnancies, much like your doula did for you, which I think is really unique and sounds cool. Tell me more about that.
Sure. So I really, really pride myself on the kind of dueling, personal dueling I've developed over the last few years. And I'm sure, you know, the way doula is going to change in a few years and in 10 years. But I really, really try and bring a level of cohesion and connected, you know, ness to the birth space. You know, really, really big on bringing pleasure to the birth space, bringing enthusiasm into your pregnancy. I'm all about bringing the laugh and the good kind of tears and the power back to your pregnancy, birth, and postpartum period. And so, what I've essentially done is managed to brand and target exactly the kind of clients that I want to work with, who are, you know, women and birthing people who are super, super interested in actively participating in their pregnancy and birth experiences. They are not happy just settling for the status quo. They want to ask questions. They want more for themselves. They're super invested in, again, cultivating a birth experience that is going to make them feel awesome and fulfilled and excited about life and confident as they become new parents. And so it's taken me a while to kind of develop what we talk about, what we do, you know, lots of stuff in the prenatal period. Yeah. Lots of one-on-one support and text and email. And then, of course, the labor attendance. So I'm there with them through labor and birth and then the afterbirth period. And then I meet with them in the postpartum period. And now what I'm actually trying to do is develop more of a premium client experience where I'm really with them for a long time after the birth, because that's something that I felt really conflicted about over the last few years, kind of breaking up with my clients after the baby. Yeah, I hate it. It is my least, and I'm sure you know this, just when, you know, they have their baby and they go on and become parents, there's a two-part to this. A is that is when they need you the most, right? Mm-hmm. They're kind of navigating this vulnerable, fragile, wildly fatigued chapter of their lives. And they actually need somebody there who believes in them, who supports them. And so I felt really quite awful kind of cutting things off, like, okay, you had your baby, like, have a good life, see you soon. And mostly because I fall so madly in love with the people that I work with and their babies. So now what I'm trying to do is develop kind of like a 6-week postpartum continuity of care kind of thing, so that I really give them the full gamut and I'm there from, you know, conception all the way through to parenthood, so that I'm really feeling like I can go to bed at night and know that I am everything that these people need me to be when they need me to be it.
Yeah. Yeah. Gosh, I really relate to that. And I think you're navigating the politics of this so well, because essentially, you know, we're doing the same job. I think any midwife especially would, you know, would aim for the same thing. And so I understand why you wouldn't want to get into all that, especially there, although the politics really aren't better here. But that's the job we're all, I think, being called to do for the people that want that kind of relationship.
I've been eyeing actually the midwifery stuff that you guys are offering at the moment. I've lurked it many a time, and I think that that's precisely what we need. And this is why, you know, people like you and I and many of the people we know and work with, again, like you said, being called to do this, to meet that resistance and to push forward. I think it's also a really, really exciting time right now, Maren, because in the last 5 years, the internet has really given a voice to people.
Yeah.
And now we're finding that, you know, prior, if something bad happened in hospital or in a birth or someone was traumatized or abused, the complaint policy, the procedure, it was so non-existent, right? Like even suing or legal proceedings or anything was virtually non-existent. It kind of, something bad happened, gets squashed under the rug. And so the people who are doing these things are just being enabled to keep doing it. Right. Whereas now the internet is giving birthing people a voice to complain, to draw attention to, you know, care providers and care models that are subpar, that aren't doing what we need them to do. Totally. And so I think that this is a really exciting time.
Yeah.
For, you know, maternal and perinatal professionals, because we need to be able to, you know, it's not even about leaving a mark per se. It's about stepping up and being the support and the voice for the people who need it. Push forward, get, you know, request better, you know, ask for better, use our social media platforms as a, you know, activism, use our content and what we're doing as activism. And I think that amazing things are going to happen in birth reform in the next few years because of it. It's a really, really exciting time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I totally agree with that. And your Instagram page is one of my major inspirations. So for anyone listening, you must check out Angela's Instagram.
Thank you.
And her Facebook. But the photos you post, especially those that are your own, are really speaking to what you just said. And you know, I feel a tiny
Thank
bit of
you.
That. Yeah, well, you're so welcome. You are a gifted photographer amongst all of these other talents.
Oh gosh,
it's amazing.
Thank you. I don't consider myself technically perfect or anything, but I feel that birth photography has just been, again, a very organic extension of what I'm trying to do. And because social media is so visually driven, the photography actually creates a platform for me to discuss, you know, positive change or social issues or, you know, things in birth and pregnancy and parenthood that I really feel I want to talk about. And so for that, I'm really, really grateful for at least to be able to pick up a camera, take a picture of something and start a conversation.
Yeah, I totally agree with that as well. I mean, it's so transformative, I think, right now to have those tools. And like you said, it's not only exposing perhaps that which needs to be exposed, but also highlighting the really like fucking awesome births that people are having.
And yes,
these
yes.
experiences that, you know, you and I feel like we are so humbled and honored to be witness to them. And so when these women want to share, you know, I find even on our small Instagram page, that kind of thing taking off, whereas like people really want to see what birth
they
looks
do.
Like.
They do.
Yeah.
Did you see the new thing now? So people are actually live streaming their births. I've seen three.
Oh my
gosh. In the last, dude, I'm totally loving this stuff here. Like, so it's basically taking social media to a whole other level. So they're actually live streaming their births and, you know, regardless necessarily of what the intent of the birthing mother is, I'm loving it because it shows how hungry people are to see birth in every kind of way. People are hungry to see it normalized. They're curious. And we're talking about millions of views on these live streams and thousands of comments from people who are like, wow, I've never seen a baby be born before. Wow, you know, my mother told me that XYZ and birth is terrifying and birth is terrible. And this live stream is challenging me to look at birth differently. And it's the power in this, you can really, really tell that people are 100% truly interested. And for those reasons, like the video, the photography, it plays such a vital role in how we're going to positively change the way birth is perceived. And then, of course, you know, inevitably how we go on to keep birthing for the next 50, 100 years. I love it.
Yeah. I mean, it's crazy on one hand, I think sometimes, you know, that it's just like our exposure to normal birth is so nil on a mass level that we need these tools. But Yeah, I'm so grateful for them. And that's something we've been trying to do as well. Just, you know, take whatever footage we can when people are okay with it and share it when they're okay with it, because it really is creating amazing conversations. So thank you
for
doing so much of that and sharing
my gosh,
so widely.
My pleasure.
Yeah.
I can't imagine doing anything but this right now, to be totally honest with you.
Yeah.
I had a mom that I worked with last week, and she contacted me quite late in her pregnancy, and she was telling me how I basically took some postpartum pictures for her, and she told me that before having babies, she was actually terrified of having children because of something her mother told her. And her mother told her that giving birth is the worst possible thing that can happen to you. You'll never be the same again. Your body will never be the same again. You know, just the most horribly terrifying things. And so she told me that by looking at pages like mine and by looking at other people's pages with birth photography and birth videos, it really gave her the courage she needed to approach birth with a clean slate, which, again, amazing. And then she had the birth and she nailed it. First baby, 5 hours, you know, drug-free, on her own terms, just absolutely killed it. And when I went to take pictures of her, she was just beaming. She said, Ange, I have no idea why my mom thought that it was a good idea to tell me the things that she told me.
Right.
You know, she even called her mom from the hospital and said, Mom, I did it, like, blah, 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 all this and this and this happened, and I'm so happy. And her mom just kept finding one negative thing to say, one negative thing to say, one more negative thing to say. And she said, all I wanted to do was run, you know, on the roof of the hospital and say, I did it. I fucking did it.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and she said, I just wish that people were sharing more positive stories instead of being so eager to share the horror stories,
right,
of their own horrible experiences. But that goes to show you that, you know, visuals matter and that they do give people the courage to birth their babies on their own terms. And that secondly, the sharing of stories, in whether it's, you know, visually and audially, is massively important as we, you know, plant the seed and help recondition women to look at birth differently.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's just putting them in touch with that deep part of themselves, you know, that I think we'd agree everyone has. It's just getting past the fear and the conditioning and, you know, all these awful things that are out there are just really a reflection, I think, of the hurt and the pain that has been surrounding birth for so long, you know?
Yeah.
So it's like we're
yeah.
uncovering this deep stuff.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's an interesting... It's interesting because sometimes I feel like, oh, you know, am I just biased because I'm here now and I think that what I'm, you know, what we're doing is important and what's happening now is important. And, you know, because I've spoken to midwives and people have been fighting for this for like 50, 60 years. And I think about like how much have they seen change and how much have they seen happen? Like, what are we going to be able to see in the next 5 years, 10 years? You know, it's interesting. I find myself kind of sitting down sometimes and really just getting lost in a black hole of what is birth going to look like in a few years? What is midwifery-led care going to look like in 10 years? And it feels like an uphill battle sometimes, but I feel very encouraged when I look at the, you know, tireless work that you and Indie Birth are doing to help. God, see, it's just the way you guys speak your truth. Just speak the truth and give women the truth that they're looking for. That really, really encourages me to be like, all right, it's going to suck. It's going to be hard, but this has to happen and we've got to just keep doing it.
Yeah, it has to happen and you're doing it too. And yeah, super grateful again for all of that work. Because we're all in this together, you know, it's on behalf of just people everywhere. And I think our children, it's just so important that we are truthful with ourselves and we are speaking our truth. And, you know, I think the old will just fall away as it needs to. It's not even a matter of like reconstructing any of that. It's just, that's.
Yeah, you're so right. It's just going to get to the point where it's like, no, actually that's not working for us anymore at all.
Right.
It's just going to drop and we're going to move on to something better. Just because it's going to become so abundantly obvious that the construct we have in place right now is not serving us the way, you know, it needs to serve us.
Right. Yeah, totally agree. So let's move on to some of your business material, just because not only is it amazing and interesting, I think it's totally a part of this conversation. Just how are we?
Thanks.
Yeah. How are you getting your truth out in the world? How are you making sure that the right women hear what you have to say? I think this is like a very, very pertinent thing in our world right now. We can't just be hiding and expect that women will know or find us. You're out there and you're doing it, and you're speaking it. So tell me where this business school came from and what's going on with that. I want to know more.
Thank you. Okay. So many things to talk about here. Essentially, if I bring it back to what I was saying before, when I originally certified as a doula, I felt massively under-supported, under-resourced, and grossly misinformed as to what it actually entailed to run a business, let alone run a business as a birth worker. Right. It's almost like this attitude
like you're not supposed to have a business as a birth worker.
And so there's this like air of no darling, like if you're a doula or if you're a midwife, you've got to be a martyr, like right. There is just, you know, it is martyrdom. You do not make any money from this. And I've always been really ambitious. I've owned several businesses. I started my first business when I was 16. Like, have always been a go-getter, and it just got to a point where I thought, I can't do this. Like, I can't do doula work and not get paid. I was getting burnt out. I was running myself into the ground. Contrary to popular belief, you cannot run a business in the birth world solely on passion. It is unsustainable and a massive disrespect to the love you have for your calling, to the genius that you have inside of you. It's a massive disrespect and totally not conducive to self-care, like the self-care that I preach.
I love this.
And so it was driving me absolutely nuts. And I felt like an alien, to be totally honest with you, Maren. I was trying to have these conversations with the doula community and it just kept falling on deaf ears. So between you and I got up one day and I was like, well, fuck it. I'm just not doing this work anymore. If I'm going to feel like this, and if I'm going to feel isolated, and I'm going to feel, I couldn't even put fuel in my car to get to my doula clients.
Right.
I had these ideas pushed on me that we couldn't charge, that we couldn't make money, and it was really affecting the way that I could serve the people that I wanted to serve. And so, and by the way, all of the work I've ever done for free or for really, really cheap, 90% of those individuals I worked with took advantage of me, took me for granted, didn't call me when they were in labor. Mm-hmm. It was no
free is not the answer. Free is never the answer when
No. So then exactly. And so I called my best friend. I was in tears. I left a huge birth, long, long, long birth. And I called her and I said, I just don't even know why I'm doing this. Like, I don't see a point. And we had this huge talk and she said, look, Angela, you love this work. It's not the work that's the problem. The problem is your business model right now. And she's like, she's my best friend. She's my, we're each other's essentially business consultants, like ghost business consultants. Yeah. And she said, like, let's reevaluate, like, what's not working? What can we do? How can we change things? What can we implement? And that's when everything changed for me. I found a small mastermind. Do you know Julia Jones? She does newborn mothers.
I don't know who that is. Mm-mm.
She's awesome. So she's in Perth and she was with Kelly Evans and they basically were running this test mastermind for birth workers because a lot of us we're obviously having the same problems, nowhere to talk about money, nowhere to talk about business. Profit was such a dirty word in this industry.
Right.
And we kind of like had this underground secret society. We were 10 women. We would meet at her house, like literally secret society. And I learned so much valuable information here. And then one day, Julia and Kelly said, look, actually, we're going to close this because it's not something that we want to do anymore. And then, the entrepreneur in me was like, hold on a second. This is great. There's like a gap now. This isn't a serious niche. I'm really passionate about this. Why don't I create something similar? So I just kind of let that go on the back burner. And then I kept doing business stuff. So essentially, my first year in business, I made $3,000 and ran at a loss, which was the bad year. And the second year I made $11,000, ran at a loss. again, setting up the business stuff. And then the third year, I made over 100,000. I, you know, three, four streams to my business. I've never felt more fulfilled. My business is sustainable. It's exciting. It's thriving. And I am really, really feel like I'm reaching my zone of full potential. And it's only, and I say this to every birth worker, every doula, every midwife, every childbirth educator, every hypnobirthing person, whoever you are, it is humanly impossible to improve birth outcomes and experiences. It is humanly impossible to wholeheartedly serve the clients you work with if you are serving from an empty cup. It is just impossible. Yes. And my mission over the last few years has been about, it's like not reinventing the wheel. It's just giving the power and the permission to passionate birth workers to amalgamate purpose, passion, and profit. Like, hey, you love doing this? Awesome. How can you create, you know, your best body of work? How are you going to make mountains and move waves? How are you going to support your family and support your dreams? Let me give you the business strategy to do that. So a lot of it is just about the foundations and the fundamentals of business, running a business, being an entrepreneur, but really industry specific, because it, again, it's my view that if we're going to legitimize our respective industries, if we're going to better the standard of care that women and their families are receiving, it all starts at the kind of work we're creating, the kind of professionals we are. So I've become super passionate about that in recent years. And then, you know, everything I teach, I learned myself by fucking up and getting back up again and, you know, making mistakes here, doing this, trying this. And that's what I do. I wake up every single morning and I'm like, how can I just be the best version of myself? How can I be the best mom I can be? How can I be the best, you know, professional that I can be? How can I be the best business owner I can be? And it's just this process of refinement and constant evolution and constant learning. And then I just pop that back into the sphere where I teach. So the course is called Heart and Hustle. It is an epic business course for passionate birth professionals. I am so not vanilla. This is not the business course for you. If you just want to sit on your ass and, you know, work word of mouth and do two clients a month and don't care about making money, this is not the business course for you. I'm really all about trailblazers, game changers, you know, women who really want to rock the socks off of this and impact the people that they want to work with. And that's what it's about. It's about fire and integrity and compassion and being the embodiment of what birth work is all of about, you know, all about. That's what this course is about.
That's amazing. Yeah, that is your passion. I can hear it. That's what you are supposed to be doing in the world right now.
Thank you. Again, uphill battle sometimes because of the resistance. Like, you know, a lot of people are convinced that doulas should not make money, that midwives should not make money. But I'm not going to stop. I'm just not going to stop fighting on this because I feel like, you know, how long have women in general just fought to be seen, let alone, you know, make money? You know, own businesses, succeed, and define their personal versions of success. Again, interesting and exciting crossroads, but I'm definitely in it for the long haul.
Yeah, and so much crossover with birth itself, right? Like, we're not worthy, we don't deserve that. And then, you know, we look at the outcomes and the way women are treated in birth, and we wonder, you know, this is all being reflected back to us in all of these ways. So I think it sounds amazing. Like the Divine Feminine Business Course by Angela.
Thank you. It's just like this like theme or this web, this string that kind of goes through everything is that women, no matter what they're doing, whether it's business or birthing or politics or whatever, we're constantly kind of fitting into this narrative where we're scared to be seen and we don't feel worthy and we don't feel this and we don't want to do this. And I'm so over that narrative. Like, I want to see strong, I want to see confident, I want to see powerful, I want to see assertive, I want to see magic starting, you know, in the roots of our womb, and I want to see that translating to every multifaceted part of our life. Like, I'm so over safe. So over vanilla.
Yeah, because we are. We are all those things, like a million times
exactly,
over.
Exactly. And, you know, what kind of birth worker or how can I say this? What kind of birth worker could you be if you were afraid of being seen, afraid of being heard, afraid of upsetting or ruffling feathers? How could you possibly create your best work and really actually, like, you know, 100% serve the people you serve? It's not possible. Yeah. It's just not possible. We need the guts and the glory and the go-getterness in this industry right now. Which I'm so happy to see you see as well, Miss Entrepreneur. I see what you do. Don't worry.
Oh my gosh. Well, you know, in my words, and you might agree, it's just so old paradigm to continue on in, you know, sort of the masculine way like we were talking about. And I think the new paradigm with birth is that there is abundance and it's limitless. And it's not, if you get some, I can't get some. That's ridiculous.
Exactly. Exactly.
It's our own power. And that is exactly, you know, we're turning right around, I think, and showing women this power. We can't do it for anyone, but we're showing them this. And this is the same power that brings them, you know, through these amazing births that we are witnessing and watching.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing, really.
I know. I agree.
Yeah.
There's so many common denominators in all of this work and every part of it, which I think is cool because it's so easy for me to segue between doula and birth photographer and business owner and business coach and general lover of life and mother. It is all intertwined, which is part of the, you know, the fun of being of like, you know, a fiery woman is like, totally. Oh, look at this. Like, let me put my hands in this. Let me put my feet in this. Let's make magic here. It's cool.
Yes. Yeah, that is exactly how I feel. It's just, you know, a different fire kind of brewing each day and, you know, seeing where that goes.
Ooh.
Mm-hmm. So I know you have to get off for the day and teach. I am so excited you were here. I think we have loads more work to do. So we're going to be in touch, I'm sure. And
absolutely. And actually am going to send you an email after this. Maren, thank you so, so, so much for having me. Truly, you are someone that I've looked up to for a long time. And I really, really appreciate you having me.
Oh, likewise. I think we're both equally as fangirl about each other. So it's pretty awesome. Please tell our podcast listeners where to find you.
Sure. So there's a myriad of ways you can get in touch. If you are all about having some coffee and a glass of wine and want to look over everything I'm doing in the birth baby bump sphere, you can visit angelagallo.com or hit me up on Instagram at Angela Womb Warrior. Womb as in womb warrior. Alternatively, you can check out Heart and Hustle and all of that businessy goodness for birth workers at www.businessforbirthnerds.com.
That's awesome. And you have so much great material that everybody listening is going to spend the next hour and a half of their life checking out your stuff, which they should totally do. I am just, so thrilled to have you here. And I can't wait to see what kind of work we can do together as we go forward
in this world.
So,
thank you so much. Yeah. I'm excited to get back on and look at your midwifery enrollment now.
All right. I love you, sister across the world. We are.
Me too.
So honored and so glad you were here today. So thanks for
having me. Have a beautiful day. Thank you so much for having me.
You're so welcome. And thanks for listening, everyone. Check out Angela's site. And as always, the indiebirth.com site for new information. We are opening up enrollment sort of unexpectedly for next summer with the Indie Birth Midwifery School. So check out indiebirthmidwiferyschool.com. Have a great day.
Woohoo!
Woohoo!
Thank you.
Bye.